Good morning.
Set up here.
Well, it's good to be here. We've been back for a few days now. We just came back from Spain, where we had a series of meetings, and prior to that, we were in China. We've been there for 18 years now. So in and out, and finally we are back here for a few months, and hopefully spend some time here with our daughters. We have three daughters. One is in New York. She's married, and she gave birth to our first grandchild. Some people say, you don't look like you're supposed to be a grandfather, but I am. And we have two other daughters who are here in Houston, where they are at Baylor University. So one is a senior and the other one is a sophomore. Anyway, good to be here this morning. And I want to speak to you about spiritual growth this morning. There was once a man who went back to his 30th year high school reunion. For some of you who are still in high school, that's like a long time away. But anyway, that was his 30th year high school reunion. He goes there and comes back, and he was devastated. Now, his wife, seeing how frustrated he was, asked him, you know, what happened? He says, it is not what happened. It is what didn't happen. You know, it's been 30 years, and some of these people have not grown. They're still the same. Same old habits, same fears, same flaws, they really have not grown. And so he says to his wife, if you ever see me not growing, please give me a kick in the rear so that I can keep on growing. You know, growing is, I would say, one of the most important topics in life. Why? Because if you look around, a lot of the problems in our world really stem from immaturity, people not growing. For those of you who are married, and I know there's some of you here who are married, you know, right? I mean, in marriage, a lot of problems stem from people being immature. I've been married for almost 30 years, and I know back then, you know, my wife and I, we were very immature, especially my wife, you know. She's here today, so I'm in trouble now. But I have a reason for being immature back then, because, you know, scientifically they've proven that men tend to mature later than women. But anyway, is it true? Yes. But anyway, so, you know, a lot of problems in marriage stem from immaturity, and not marriage, and even within the church. Think about it. If you are in a church long enough, you'll realize that a lot of the problems in the church stem from people's immaturity, whether emotional immaturity or spiritual immaturity. So we need to grow. We need to grow. And for the past 18 years, we've been living in China, and we've had the privilege of seeing tens of thousands of non-believers come through our ministry, and seeing hundreds of them come to Christ, and we've had the privilege of developing them and seeing more than 40 of them. I mean, those are all intellectuals. We started working with college students and young professionals and all intellectuals, and many of them started coming to Christ. We started developing them, and they started growing, and more than 40 of them eventually quit their jobs and to be trained, and they are now serving in full-time ministry. And all these years, I have to say that what I've realized is that, you know, the Great Commission, which is this passage we have just read, the Great Commission is really Jesus' secret for us, his key to spiritual growth. He didn't just give us a command and left for no reason. And if you think about it, God being God, he doesn't need us to go and share the gospel and make disciples. He can just do it with donkeys if he has to. But he gave us this command, and we call it the Great Commission. How many of you have memorized it? Some of you? Come on. Sunday school? No? Yes? You won't admit it, that's all. But, you know, this Great Commission, one of the key verses in Scripture, is really a key that Jesus has given us for spiritual growth. The main verb in these two verses is really the verb make disciples. That's the only imperative, the only true command he's giving us. The other verbs are participles. You know, while going, make disciples by baptizing them and teaching them, and lo, I will be with you for always. So that's really his command, to make disciples. And the way to do it is really the secret for us to grow spiritually. Just think about it. And here, he's giving us four steps to spiritual growth. First, he's saying, while going. In other words, if you want to grow, you need to first leave your comfort zone. You can't just stay wherever you are comfortable and grow. You need to leave. Why am I pointing? Over there. Oh, here, right here. The computer is right in front of me. I can use the arrow too. No need for this. Okay. So he's saying, you know, what Jesus is saying, while going, in other words, leave your comfort zone. Don't stay where you are, where you're comfortable, because you will not grow. If you want to grow, you need to leave where you're comfortable at. I left home when I was 17. As Pastor Matt said, I grew up in France, and I left my family when I was 17. I moved to the States, and I remember I grew so much during those initial years. But then eventually, you know, went to college, got a job, got married, started having kids, and started becoming comfortable again. And I felt like I wasn't really growing spiritually. And so I remember for a season, for a whole year, we started praying the same prayer every night. We said, God, we want to grow. We want to love you more. We want to experience you. And, you know, be careful what you pray, because God listens to prayers. Things started happening to us. And eventually, God made it very clear, I want you to leave the American dream. Because, you know, the American dream is all about building a comfortable lifestyle for yourself. God says, no, that's not what I am all about. I want you to leave the American dream and to go. Go so that you can grow. And for me, that was hard because, growing up, you know, my dream, the American dream aside, was after I got married to my wife, she was, and I was an engineer. I worked for IBM Research for 12 years. And my wife was an attorney. She was a prosecutor in New York City. And when I married her, I thought, no, I had hit the jackpot, right? Lawyers make a lot of money. And my dream was one day I would come home and she would surprise me for my birthday and hand me this gift, a small little box. And the reason why it's a small box is because in it will be a key, and she'll open the front door and surprise me with a brand new BMW. You know, happy birthday, right? That was my dream. And God says, no, that's not what I'm all about. If you want to grow, I want you to go. I want to stretch you. I want you to leave the American dream, your comfort zone, and I want to stretch you. And going to China, talk about the stretch. You know, I didn't speak Chinese. I grew up in France, speaking French. Then I had to learn English. And then now I'm going to a country I've never been to, and a language. I look Chinese, but growing up, I always felt like it was French. Okay? And I'm not even Asian American, because I grew up watching American TV shows, but I thought I was French. And so God says, no, go to this very country where even though you look Chinese, but you don't speak the language and you don't know the culture, but that's okay because I will help you to grow. I really had to, you know, learn the language and talk about culture. You know, I remember first moving to China. You know, by then we had three young kids, and the oldest was barely five. And we had to buy all these stuff to furnish the house, and we would go to the store and order things and tell the person, say, hey, can you deliver the goods on a certain date at a certain time? I'll be home and I'll be waiting for you. And the Western culture is, you know, when you set a time, an appointment, you show up on time, right? And so I was home waiting for the delivery person. But I waited for half an hour, the person still hadn't come. I mean, you need to understand the Chinese culture, right? It's the time of the concept of time is very different than the Western culture. So half an hour later, I called the person, and I knew enough Chinese to ask him, you know, where are you? And so he replies in Chinese, 马上到了. You know, 马上, oh, some of you know Chinese. 马上到 means, you know, literally it means I'm on the horse, right? 马 means horse, 上 on, 到 means I'm there. I'm on the horse, I'm there. So in my naive thinking, I'm like, okay, he's going to be here in a minute. So I wait. Half an hour later, he's still not there. So I call him again, 马上到了. Oh, I'm like, okay, 马上到了, I mean, twice, okay. And I mean, I guess he got stuck in traffic. He's going to be here. Waited for another half an hour, still not there. I call him back, and 马上到了. I had to learn, I mean, that, no, 马上到 doesn't mean he's going to be there right away. That means he's on his way, but it could be another hour, 2 hours. So eventually, I learned the culture. So nowadays, I don't wait for delivery people anymore. I just go out and do my own thing. And I wait for them to call me, and when they ask me where I am, I'll say, 马上到了, you know. You have to learn and grow, right? That's what it means to grow. But anyway, so Jesus says, you need to go. You need to go. Leave your comfort zone, because that's how you will grow. I'm not talking about emotional or physical growth here. I'm talking about spiritual growth. I don't know where you are at today. Are you so comfortable that you haven't really grown spiritually for a while? And you could be just, you know, how old are you? 12, 13, 14? 13. Now you could be just 13 years old, and maybe you've grown for a while spiritually, and maybe you're stuck. It's like, I've heard this story in Sunday school already. Yeah, old, same story again and again. If you grew up in church, I grew up in the church. That was my mentality back then, you know. I know that story, yeah. And I wouldn't grow spiritually until God says, no, I want you to leave your comfort zone so that you can grow. So are you too comfortable today that you really haven't grown spiritually for a while? Not only that, God says, Jesus says, no, while going, if you want to make disciples, if you want to really grow while going, you need to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, I want you to, no, to seek out those who are lost. Go and seek out those who are lost, because if you want to grow, I want you to be proactive about seeking out. And I'm telling you, this is countercultural for us within the American culture, because we're so comfortable just being isolated. The American culture is all about individualism, right? I have my space. Don't come into my space, and I won't go into your space. I mean, the two taboos when you have, you know, when you meet people, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about what? Religion, right? Don't tell me about, you know, what you believe. That's your business. Especially today, more and more so, I see that. And yet, Jesus says, if you want to grow, I want you to break out of your comfort zone, and I want you to seek out the lost. Seek them out, so that you can baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I first moved to China, I had this mindset. You know, I'm like, I'm not comfortable sharing the gospel. And yet, we started a ministry from our home. My wife was teaching at the law school at that time, and she invited her law students. Naturally, they started coming because they wanted to practice their English. And we started with five students in our living room. And within 3 months, we had 50 students crammed in our living room. Within a year, we had over 100 students crammed in our living room. And they were sitting on the stairway, in the kitchen, everywhere, because they wanted to meet foreigners and practice their English. And the first time we told them we were Christians, they went, oh! We didn't know intellectuals could be Christians. <laughs> every week. We had like 20 newcomers every week, people that I didn't know. And you need to realize, you know, I'm an introverted person. I'm an introverted person. Even though I'm standing here preaching, and I had to learn, I had to grow. But by nature, I'm an introverted person. I don't like to meet strangers, and much less be the first one to be the one to initiate a conversation with people. But all these new people were coming to my home. And I remember thinking one day, you know, God, can you just bring two people to me and so I could maybe disciple them? Because, you know, that's why I'm here. Can you please bring two people for me to disciple? Remember I said, be careful what you pray for, right? God hears prayers. Within a few weeks, this college student started coming to me and say, hey, Luke, I'm ready to become a Christian. How much money do I have to pay? No, because in their mindset, it's like joining the Communist Party. You know, you have to pay some fee, and you become a Christian by joining a religion or something. And I'm like, no, you don't have to pay anything. No, the gospel is free. So he says, can you lead me in a prayer of conversion? So I brought him to my apartment upstairs, and because we were living in our living room, and so I brought him to my bedroom, and I prayed with him. And immediately he took out a charm that his grandmother gave him, a Buddhist charm. He says, can you cut it? And so I cut it for him, and that's how he became a believer. And then a few weeks later, another guy came to me and says the same thing. Luke, I'm ready to become a Christian. He didn't ask how much money I have to pay, but no. But again, I led him to Christ, and then afterward I told him, I said, hey, do you have time? Maybe we can. I want to journey with you for a season to help you grow spiritually, and maybe we can meet once a week for an hour. And you know, in China, college students have all the time in the world. High school is really hard, but once you get into college, you have all the time in the world. So immediately they said, okay, sure. You know, we'll come to your house. And so every Tuesday afternoon, morning actually, they came to my house, and we would meet downstairs in a gazebo, and they would have all these questions for me. We'll read the Bible together, we'll pray, and they started growing, and they kept growing. And for 2 years, we did that. Today, one of the guys is leading an entire ministry. And eventually, he went to get his master's degree in Shanghai, came back, you know, we trained him for 3 years, and eventually, today, he's basically leading our entire ministry. And I have to say, throughout these years of discipling people, of reaching out and seeking out the lost, the person who grew the most are not the people that I discipled. Guess who grew the most? Who grew the most? Yes. Me, of course, me. I grew the most. I had no choice. Because every time they came and asked me questions and I didn't have the answer, I would go back and research on it. And then the following week, I'll give them the answer. I had to grow. And that is why Jesus says, don't stay in your comfort zone. Leave it. Go. And then what? Seek out the lost. Because when you do that, you will grow. And then, oh, that was, I forgot to do this, right? And then he says, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. In other words, if you want to grow, you need to strive to teach other people. You know, the concept of teaching in Scripture is very interesting because in Hebrews 5:12, it says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So in other words, here he's saying, you know, don't just keep drinking milk. By now you should be teaching. So it's essentially equating teaching to being mature. Right? If you're a teacher, then that means most likely you're no longer a baby because now you're teaching, so you are mature. And yet in James chapter 3, it says, let's read it together, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." So, should I become a teacher? Should I not become a teacher? Should I teach or not teach? What do you think? Teach, but then it says, let only a few of you become teachers, because if you're a teacher, you know, you'll be judged much more harshly. You see, Hebrews is really talking about what? The function of teaching. While James is really talking about the position of being a teacher. Because the truth is, most of us enjoy titles and status. You know, the writer of James was really trying to correct people striving for the position of, hey, I'm the teacher here, call me pastor, you know, call me elder, or call me whatever. You know, Matt was really funny this week. He says, "No, how should I refer you to as? You know, should I call you Brother Luke or Reverend Luke or Saint Luke, right?" And I said, "You can call me Dr. Luke too. I just got my doctoral degree and I'm an ordained minister, but nobody calls me doctor or pastor at the our ministry is called Bridges." And we made it a very concrete decision, a very solid decision in the beginning that, no, we're not going to use titles. First of all, in China, it's not useful because I'm a missionary, so you don't want to be known, you know, as whatever. But also, I think it's helpful because, to me, who cares? That's really not the point. The point is not your title or your position. What's important is whether you're teaching or not. The function of teaching, and that's what Hebrews is talking about. By now, you should be teaching rather than constantly just feed me, feed me. Grow up. Grow up. You should be teaching other people. Because ultimately, if you're teaching, you will grow. For those of you who've taught before, whether you're teaching Sunday school or whatnot, who grew the most? Again, who grew the most? Yourself, right? As you prepare the lessons, as you try to answer questions, you have no choice but to grow. And that is why Jesus says, no, don't just stay in your comfort zone. Go and seek out the lost and then teach them. Teach them. Because when you teach, you will grow. So let me ask you today, look around. Are you teaching someone today? Are you in a position, not title, but have you placed yourself in a position where you're able to teach someone? And you don't have to be, you know, older than, I mean, even if you're 13 years old, you can teach someone who is not as mature as you are spiritually. The key is spiritual maturity. And it's not determined by age. And it's not determined by how long you've been a Christian. But you look around you, there are people struggling. There are people who are not growing. And you don't have to go, hey, let me be a teacher now. No. Just like I did, you go, hey, let's journey for a while together. How about, let's meet for coffee. Once a week, let's meet together for breakfast. And you read scripture together, pray together. Because as you strive to teach others, I guarantee you, you will grow spiritually. Today, you're so comfortable that you're just coming here on Sunday, just listening to a sermon, going to Sunday school, and you're done for the week. Then most likely you're not growing. And that is why Jesus, before he left, he was so adamant about telling his disciples, you need to go, leave your comfort zone, seek out the lost, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And finally, he says a promise here. He says, lo, I am with you. I will be with you always. In other words, stay close to Christ. If you want to grow spiritually, you need to stay close to Christ. When I was in China and being busy with ministry, and I mean, we were having so many people at our house for meals, and we had visitors from the States, and we had all these new people coming, and we had people that we were developing, and we started a company so that we could have a reason for being there. And so all these things were happening, and we were so busy, and we were homeschooling on top of that, right? We were three kids, and we were homeschooling. And one day God says to me, no, Luke, you need to make sure you have your Sabbath so that you can stay close to me. Because otherwise, you'll be so busy that you're going to lose focus and lose sight of why you're there. And ultimately, you'll lose sight and lose focus as to who is your strength and who is the one who's providing you everything that is necessary for life and for godliness. It's me. And so I made a point every Monday. Sunday was not my Sabbath. No, weekends were not my Sabbath because we were so busy with ministry. And so Monday morning, and it wasn't a whole day, I would take 3 hours, I would go on top of a mountain and just be alone with God and with my Bible, looking over the city, and it was my Sabbath, my time to be alone with Christ, to be refocused, to worship. It was a reminder of who I am as a child of God. And being reminded during that time that God is with me. You know, today some of us are so busy and maybe unbusy that we don't have time to be alone with Christ. And I'm not talking about, you know, the 5 minutes you have just to fulfill, you know, your duty of, oh, I've read my chapter today, or I've done my daily prayer. No, I'm talking about really being alone with Christ and being reminded that He is your everything. Right? Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. For apart from, and you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, what? You can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So stay close to Christ. Leave your comfort zone. Seek out the lost. Strive to teach and remember to stay close to Christ. I often tell the people that I'm developing, you know, when you're alone with Christ, try to meditate on the Word. Don't just read and don't just memorize. Meditate. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the person who meditates on His Word day and night. That's the kind of person who will bear fruit. Meditate. What is God saying to me? What is God asking me to do? What is this Word saying? Meditate. So what is God saying to you today? What is God saying to you today? Are you too comfortable today to grow? When was the last time you share your faith with someone? When was the last time you prayed for someone to come and to know Christ? When was the last time you had a direct focus? I mean, someone being baptized. I saw a picture of people getting baptized here. Did you have anything to do with any of these people getting baptized? And I'm not trying to, to guilt you into doing things. I'm trying to guilt you to grow. You gotta grow. Because the abundant life that Jesus is talking about happens as you grow spiritually, as you mature. And if you mature, your church will grow, will flourish. Then you will realize, wow, a lot of the problems that I used to see as problems is really not a problem. It's not a big deal. In your marriage, you'll see your marriage flourish as you mature spiritually. Are you growing? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much this morning for once again reminding us of this command, your last command given to us. And it really is a command for our sake, so that we would grow spiritually. So thank you so much, Father, because you do everything for our sake in some ways. You do it so that we would love you more, we would come to know you more deeply, and we would serve you, and as a result of it, we would grow and mature and experience the abundant life, because you have come to give us life, and not just life, but life abundant. That was your vision for each and every one of us, no matter how old we are. Your vision for us is to grow and to mature and to live the abundant life. So I thank you for that. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I pray for each and every person in this room today. Lord, as they are praying in their own hearts right now, I know you will answer their prayers. That if their desire is to grow, you will answer that prayer and you will help them. You will provide opportunities for them to grow, to meet people, to reach out to people, to teach, to disciple others, and to stay close to you. So thank you so much for your promise to be with us always, always. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, by the way, this afternoon my wife and I will still be here. We're going to talk about our 7 stages discipleship strategy. Over the years, God has given us this strategy. We didn't go to China with a plan. You know, our thinking was, no, God, we'll go for a year and we'll try it out and we'll see what happens. We call ourselves accidental missionaries. You know, we didn't have dreams of becoming missionaries, of being missionaries. We didn't join any organization. We went there wanting to experience God. And within a year, all these things started happening. And after a few years, we realized there was a strategy to help people grow. And so we developed the 7 stages. We uncovered the 7 stages discipleship strategy. If you want to hear more about it, and it's really a spiritual growth strategy, how to grow someone who is a non-believer, an atheist, all the way to becoming an equipper. That is what the 7-stage strategy is all about. And as I said, we've seen hundreds of people come through, you know, tens of thousands of people come through the ministry, but hundreds of them come to Christ and being discipled. So we welcome you this afternoon and hope to see you there.
Thank you.